say, well, Sabbath greetings to those here at YRM and also those that are joining us online. And for those of you who might view or hear this later, we send you a warm shalom. And hopefully we're all doing well. I'd like to welcome once again Sister Michelle Sevier and Little Novi. Paul the Apostle, he told Timothy that from a child up, he learned the scriptures that made him wise unto salvation. We know he's speaking about the Torah. So the Torah has salvation for us. And if we're wise, we can take heed to those lessons. But Paul also said that when he was a child, he did things that children do. But once he grew up, it was time to mature. And that's a lesson for us as we grow up in this faith. It's time for us to mature. So the subject I chose is 180 degrees. Just thinking about turning from our wicked ways. You do a 180 degree turn. At the same time, you're making changes. So we're going to go about this. Look at it as if you're making changes in your life. Even if you've been in the faith for a long, long time, there's still things that we have to change. And it's all about repentance. When you're a follower of the way, a lot of times we're looking for a description. How do we describe these people? They keep the Sabbath. They use Hebrew names. What can we use to describe them? Well, we're followers of the way that Yahshua said. That's what he called himself. And he is the way, the truth, and the life. We strive to follow him as he followed Yahweh. And even if you're raised in the faith, once delivered to the saints, you still have to follow certain procedures. Baptism, the laying on of hands, and the most important thing, continual repentance. You still have to abide by that. And this nation has certainly changed. And some people are adjusting to the climate, but not necessarily changing their ways, if you notice. We have freedom to worship Yahweh, but that may soon change because of a few non-believers. A few non-believers start whining about people that believe in the scriptures. And then, people that are in a position to make laws, rules, and regulations, they pay attention to the few non-believers and they try to restrict our freedom. Over in Romans chapter 1, if you want to write that down or follow along, I don't have it on the slide here. But Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it reads there, "For since the creation of the world, Elohim's invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been understood and observed by what he made, so that the people are without excuse." So Elohim's invisible attributes, the things that we can't see. It says there that no man has seen Yahweh at any time. Well, it says here that his eternal power, his divine nature, we understand that and we observe that by the things that he made. So that we don't have an excuse. He made the sun, the moon, and the stars. And if we look deeper and deeper into these other galaxies that Yahweh made, we're amazed at what he's done, how these things work together. He gives them a command. He commands the sun to come out. He commands it to set. And there you have your Sabbath when the sun sets on Friday. That's Yahweh doing that. So you can't see him, but you can see his power. You can see his miraculous power when we have hurricanes and volcanoes erupting. This is Yahweh's doing. This is his power. When he created man, here we have Yahweh's power. And we observe that, it says here. So that the people are without excuse. We don't have an excuse. We can't come up with an excuse to say, Yahweh is really not a creator, or there is no Elohim. Well, we see this, and this scripture is instructing us. A change is good whenever it's for the better. We have to make changes. This happens all the time during the Feast of Tabernacles. Maybe some things didn't go the way we wanted to, so guess what? We have to change those things so that we all can come together. We can all enjoy ourselves. Not only that, Passover unleavened bread. Way back, a couple years back, you know, we didn't get together as much, but now we're changing that. We're, you know, the assembly building, you know, is in good condition. We have enough room, and we're inviting people from other states to come down, keep the Passover, keep unleavened bread, especially if you're by yourself. It's a great time to learn more about Yahweh. And it is no lie that Yahweh knows what is right for his people. We had this RSB suggestion box at Tabernacles, and what happens? You have your first edition, well, you have to make changes, right? We want to add more things to the study Bible. For what? So that you, the Bible student, could get more benefit out of Yahweh's word. People sacrifice their time, their talents, their knowledge. The elders and all the others that are participating in this project. So we ask, what did you like about it? What didn't you like about it? For what? So we can change it, make it a better study tool. So the first point I'm going to make, it's a set of six options. I won't have them on the screen, but I added some scriptures here. And here's some of the characters that I want to touch on in this book that I read once. There's four characters there. I'll just keep it up there. Now, this old co-worker before I moved here to Missouri gave me a book. It's called Who Moved My Cheese? You can insert, instead of the word cheese, you can insert things that apply to you in your life. It's written by Dr. Spencer Johnson, and is an amazing way to deal with change in your work and your personal life. So if you just got baptized, those that have been in the faith a long time, maybe you're not in the faith, you can apply this to yourself, and it can work for you. Here's a brief summary of the book. The first one is change happens. They keep moving the cheese. It's like rearranging furniture. You get home, all the furniture is rearranged. Anticipate change. Get ready for the cheese to move. I have here, Yahweh works in mysterious ways. Monitor change. Smell the cheese often so you know when it's getting old. Smell the coffee, fresh coffee. I have there. Adapt to change quickly. The quicker you let go of old cheese, the sooner you can enjoy new cheese. I have here, out with a pagan and unclean, in with the Kodesh and the kosher. I'm speaking of pagan festivals now. Change, move with the cheese. Basically, keep up with the seasons of Yahweh. The seasons change for a reason. Enjoy change. Savor the adventure and enjoy the taste of new cheese. The refreshing celebrations of Yahweh, they change your life. You go to a feast. It was your first time there. It's an awesome thing to be in the presence of Yahweh with his people. They change you. You get convicted. You start asking questions. You're curious. So with those six options for change happens, I have their first chapter of Exodus. You can write these down or you can follow along. I don't have the scriptures for 7 through 10, but Exodus 1, 7 through 10. We can read there of how the children of Israel, they multiplied and Pharaoh was scared that they would turn on Egypt if war broke out. So the children of Israel found themselves in slavery. So what happened? Well, a change took place. Anticipate change, Exodus 2:23, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died and the children of Israel sighed by the reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto Elohim by reason of the bondage. What happened? They're going to anticipate a change. They cried out to Yahweh. Yahweh heard them. He's going to change their situation. Monitor change. I have here Exodus 7:5. Exodus 7:5. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Yahweh takes you from your family, your physical family. He gives you a new family, Yahshua's brothers and sisters. So you monitor change, right? Adapt to change quickly. Exodus 12:42. Speaking about the Passover. Exodus 12:42, it is a night to be much observed unto Yahweh for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of Yahweh to be observed of all the children of Israel in their generations. So in number two, you get ready to leave Egypt. You get ready to leave your pagan customs. In number three, the Egyptians shall know that Yahweh is the true mighty one of this world. There's no other, Yahweh said. So Yahweh works. He's a man of action. He's a man of war. He's a jealous Elohim. He does things for you. You cry out to him. The children of Israel cried out. So what is he going to do? He's going to deliver them. He's going to take them out so they can go and worship him. Number five, Exodus 14:15. This is change. Move with a change. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Go forward. That's what Yahweh is telling us. Don't go backwards. Don't fall back into your comfortable ways, the ways of the world. It says here, don't whine. Yahweh said to Moses, why are you whining to me? Go forward. I'm going to deliver you. I'm doing miracles in your midst. Have faith. Exodus 15:1. This one goes with number six, and that's enjoy change. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto Yahweh, and spake, saying, I will sing unto Yahweh, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. This is the chapter just before the Torah reading. So it's kind of like a story. You look at all these verses and you line them up with our first point. And you see the changes taking place with the children of Israel and the changes that took place in Egypt also. If you're a pagan nation and you see these people over here, their Elohim is working for them, what is that going to do to you? It's going to do two things. You're either going to be in unbelief and remain hard-hearted, or you're going to say, well, maybe I'd like to be a part of that. I don't understand everything about, you know, about their Elohim, but I could find out. I can ask questions. This is how it is where I remember one festival, Feast of Tabernacles, the camp monitor, he was from a different faith, but you know what? He came to the Bible studies. He came to the services and he just sat back, he observed, and he took notes and he read it right from the scriptures why, you know, we're doing what we're doing. So this could happen too. We see we have some people that came along from Egypt. Some of them were causing trouble, but maybe we have some good ones in there. I don't know for sure, but I know that Yahweh, he will convict people outside the faith. Maybe somebody might walk in here during one Sabbath, and you never know. Yahweh could convert that person. So that was our first point. We're talking about changing. We're talking about making amends with Yahweh, being at peace with Yahweh. That is one of our goals. The children of Israel went from freedom to slavery and once again to freedom. This is where we're at. We're in this world. We were in bondage to sin. Those of us, you know, we've been immersed. We've been in the faith for a while. We're still struggling. We're still fighting that good fight. But we were in slavery. We were free from Yahweh. We were in slavery. Now Yahweh set us free. Now, that scripture says the truth shall set you free. The truth sets you free to be obedient, not to be disobedient. We have to remember that. Some people might take that verse out of context. Oh, the truth set me free, so now I don't have to obey. No, it's the opposite. The truth has set you free so that you are free to obey Yahweh in spirit and truth. And we, on the other hand, we go from innocence. When you're a child, you're considered innocent until you reach the age of accountability. And all this depends on how mature you are. Everything depends on how mature we are and how we are brought up. I was thinking to myself, if I'm brought up in a rough environment, there's nothing but sex, drugs, and violence, a servant of Yahweh approaches me and asks me, you know, do you know about Yahweh? Well, how am I going to react? I've been brought up a certain way. That's why when we witness to people, we have to be in prayer. We don't know how the person is going to react to Yahweh's truth. As this one slide back here, it shows this man here breaking down the Torah. This is what's happening in our day. And so we ask the question, do we make void the law? When Yahweh shows us grace, when He shows us mercy, are we free to do whatever we want? We don't make void the law of Yahweh just because we're obedient. The second point is a look into the character's reaction to change. We read the scriptures of the children of Israel. Now look at these four characters. There's one Hem, there's one Sniff, there's Haw, and then there's Scurry. There's two mice, Sniff and Scurry, and then there's two little men there, Hem and Haw. Now Hem is the one who denies to change, as he fears it will lead to something worse. You don't want to repent because you know you're going to go through some trials. Sniff, who sniffs out and changes early. Think about that. We got Haw, who learns to adapt in the time when he sees changing can lead to something better. Then you have Scurry, who scurries into action. So you have two of them here. One of them sniffs out change early. The other one scurries into actions. These characters, they're motivated. Yahweh, we need Yahweh's Spirit to motivate us to do more for Him, to want to change our ways, whatever it is. Look into the scriptures. Where did we fall short? Well, then that's where we need to work on. Where am I strong? Well, I need to get stronger in those areas. And then you have one here, you know, he's kind of on the fence. Okay, well, let me see what we can implement in the feast and see if it works. And then there's the one, he doesn't want to change. Can Yahweh work with that person? If you're the type of person that you don't like to change, can Yahweh work with you? Yahweh is showing you mercy. He's offering you forgiveness. Are you willing to change? This is a question that Yahshua asks of us. So the second point is a look into the character's reaction to change. These four characters in the book, two mice named Sniff and Curry, and two little people named Hem and Haw. The four characters, they live in a maze. It represents environment. Let's try to put ourselves in this story. Their activity is to look for cheese. Maybe you're looking for truth. That's your activity in your life, which represents their lives, happiness, and success. You're struggling. You're looking for truth. That's going to represent your happiness, your success when you find it. Each morning, Sniff and Scurry, Hem and Haw wear their most comfortable shoes to run and search the maze to find cheese. They search each day until they found Cheese Station C. The four were so happy and glad to find Station C, which is filled with cheese. Hem and Haw, human as they were, become comfortable having found Station C. They found that the cheese in Station C was more than enough to sustain their life's needs in a lifetime. So the next morning, Hem and Haw lazily get up every morning and walk to Station C without their running shoes on. On the other hand, the two mice, Sniff and Scurry, still eagerly run to Station C to search and find their cheese. Then one morning, as Hem and Haw lazily walk shoeless to Station C, they arrive and find it empty. Hem and Haw became furious and angry. Unprepared, the humans counted on the cheese supply to be constant. Maybe you have a lot of money. You think it's going to last you forever. They rant at the unfairness of the situation and are mad at those who stole their cheese. They wanted justice. They wanted the cheese to come back, but they went home hungry. Maybe you went to look for certain truth and you couldn't find it. So you went home hungry. On the other hand, when Sniff and Scurry found that Station C was empty, they are not surprised. They noticed the cheese supply decreasing. They have mentally prepared beforehand for the tough but foreseeable task of finding new cheese. Maybe you're looking for truth, right? You're preparing mentally beforehand because it's going to be a tough task because sometimes you don't know who to trust. So they easily accepted it and moved on for the search for new cheese, new truth. You got to find truth wherever Yahweh leads you. Maybe you say to yourself, oh, these guys, you know, I can't trust them. Maybe they have truth. Or maybe you don't like them. Maybe they have truth. It's your job to seek and search and pray to Yahweh. We all have shortcomings. We make mistakes. And so you look at these four characters. Which of the four characters are we? Think back again to the four characters. Which one of them? Which one of them represents how we are? Our mentality, how we go about searching for Yahweh's truth, how we go about keeping Yahweh's truth once we have it. Are we the two with a simple mind and thinking process, or are we the two with a complicated mind and complicated thinking process? You can look to the children of Israel. You had those four characters there. You had Moses, you had his brother Aaron. They both had their office. And then you had the children of Israel. You had Caleb, and you had Yahshua, the other Yahshua that we read about and that we heard about last week. Only two of them made it into the promised land. In the end, we're going to have two witnesses. You got Yahweh, you got Yahshua. They each witness of one another. They each back each other up. They each, they confirm each other's words by what they do. They create, they bring to life, they save. They also destroy, because sometimes that's just the way human nature is. Some humans, they don't want salvation. They want to just live it up right now, do what they can now. So I also found, just looking up these characters here in the book, because I wanted to share that with you. There was another book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And these habits here, I see Elder Randy and some of the others here putting them into effect. I'm sure Elder Randy could appreciate it. 7 Habits of Effective People. And this would be point number 3. We need to have effective habits. We're talking about repentance. We're talking about 180 degrees. You were going one way, and then you found out that those ways lead to death. You come across Yahweh. Maybe Yahweh knocked you down. Maybe not the same way he did to Paul, but he knocked you down. Or maybe he just tapped you lightly on the shoulder. Either way, however way Yahweh called you, however way Yahweh got your attention, you're striving to change your ways and to look to Him for truth and salvation. So the 7 habits of highly effective people are like this. And we can put them in a different order, but we have private victory, the first 3 habits. One of them is to be proactive. You got to be an active person. Begin with the end in mind. That's number 2. And put first things first. So I rearranged those. First things first, Yahweh comes first, right? And Yahweh knows the end from the beginning. When you come to Yahweh, what is your goal? Your goal is to make it to the finish line, to make it to the kingdom. So you began with that. You said, I want to run that race because I want that prize. I want what Yahshua has, and I could attain it as long as I'm obedient and faithful to Yahweh. But in order to do that, I got to be proactive. I got to act. I got to work with the brothers. I got to obey Yahweh. I have to obey Yahweh. If you can't do anything, maybe you think you don't have any talents, you can obey Yahweh. That could be your talent. You could be highly effective because that will rub off on others. In the same way, negative things rub off on us, positive things do rub off on us. The positive statements that Yahshua left for us, they rub off on us. He went to the synagogue on Sabbath to teach. We go to the assembly on Sabbath to learn. We learn from him. He doesn't have to be here in person. He left us these words. So private victory forms the deepest part of our character. Then you have public victory, the next three habits. Think win-win. To the world, I'm a loser. But if I obey Yahweh, he will bless me. It's a winning situation. Seek first to understand, then be understood. You go to a Bible study. For instance, I'm kind of way off on prophecy. Well, I have to ask questions, right? Because I want to understand. So when I understand, when I comprehend something, I can better help someone else if they have the same question. And also synergize, to collaborate. You have to collaborate. Public victory forms our skill to work well with people. You're part of a team. By default, when you get immersed, you agree to help the body. You agree to work with the body. Maybe you don't like this person, but you agree to work with them. Respect goes a long way, even when you hate someone. Even when they hate you and they might respect you, that goes a long way. The last one is constant renewal. Sharpen the saw. As it said there, you smell that fresh coffee. Keep smelling it. If you feel that you're in a rut, well, you have to make a change in the way you do things because we do things as a habit. Now, when you come to Sabbath services, this is a habit. Don't change that habit. Don't change the good habits. Don't change the fact that you're obeying Yahweh. Don't get down on yourself. Maybe because you get distracted or people maybe might make fun of you or whatever. You got to keep on because Yahweh is going to help you. He says when you keep the Sabbath, he sanctifies you. You're walking in his ways. You're walking in his Torah. He's helping you to be a better servant. It's all about conforming to the standards of Yahweh. Whether you're from the tribe of Judah, you're a Jew, maybe you're from Benjamin or Levi, or whether you're a Gentile. The Apostle Paul wrote that circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments. It doesn't matter if you're circumcised physically and you think that because you're a Jew, oh, I'm circumcised. That's not an automatic ticket to Yahweh's kingdom. Yahweh could care less. It's the keeping of the commandments. Because if you think you're circumcised, if you think you're better than someone else, by them keeping the commandments, they make your circumcision as nothing. That's what it says in the scriptures. That's what Paul wrote. That's what Yahshua inspired him to write. He only wrote that, why? To make the Jews motivated to do better. If you have the oracles of Yahweh and a Gentile is keeping the commandments better than you are, that should motivate you to do better. That should convict you. That Yahshua died for the Jew and for the Gentile. He died for the same people that killed him and for those that obeyed him. So that we don't brag about our status. That's what Yahweh is trying to do. He's trying to convict us. Don't brag about your status. Just keep the commandments. Be humble about it. Do it in a humble way. Let's go to Luke, where Messiah has words for us. Luke 13, 1 through 5. And I think this will speak to the point where you had some people and they went to Yahshua, and from the way I read it, it seems that they tried to butter him up. They tried to get on his good side, but he wasn't having any of that. Luke 13:1-5, it reads, "There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Yeshua answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." He's using those examples. Let's use the Twin Towers. Let's use Hurricane Katrina. These were two devastating calamities that took place that we can still remember. Are we any better than those people that perished in those towers? Are we any better than those that perished in the hurricane? This is what Yahshua is telling them. So these people were murdered. So these people died. Were they worse than any other sinner? He says, nay, except ye repent, we're all going to perish in the same way. In a tragic way. Especially us who know the truth. So we're speaking to you, those outside the faith. The same thing that John the Immerser said. We have to bring forth fruits fit, worthy of repentance. It doesn't matter about our status. Who did John the Immerser basically, he rebuked them more effectively. When the people came to John, he didn't get on their case. But now when the Pharisees and Sadducees came, he said, who warned you to come to get immersed? Repent of whatever it is you're doing. That's what John told them. I take this to mean that one sinner now is not worse than another now. I'll make a comparison, for instance. Maybe you just told a little lie. But then you look at these people that murdered a lot of people. You think about Hitler. Are we any worse than Hitler? Are his sins worse than ours? You might think, well, yeah, look at it. He killed so many. Yeah, but if we sin, are we any better than he? Because our sins weren't as bad as his. This is the point that we need to get. Oh, but he did so and so. But me, oh, no. We can't make ourselves to be any better than the next sinner. I think that's a point that Yahshua is making. We have all sinned, but we have not all repented. Now that could make a difference. Whether before or after baptism. When you sin after baptism, you have Yahshua. If you sin before baptism, do you have Yahshua's blood to cover your sins? No, you don't. You could be led by the Spirit. You could be stumbling. But there's a difference. Did the children of Israel have Yahshua's blood to cleanse them from their sins? No, they did not. They had Yahshua among them. They had the angel of Yahweh. He was with them. But they still had their sins on their conscience. Every single year they had to go and kill innocent animals. But when Yahshua came, he cleansed you from your sins. Sometimes you get a little jealous because somebody gets baptized, they're clean. As if they never sinned. We, on the other hand, you know, we've made mistakes ever since. But we have to keep repenting. So that's a message for those who are contemplating also baptism. If you haven't done it yet, don't think that you made it to the finish line when you get baptized. You still have to repent of things that you have that are not right with Yahweh, that Yahweh will reveal them to you in time afterwards. So those who sin after baptism have a duty to continue to seek the kingdom of Yahweh and to repent. That is our duty. And of course, to share the truth with others, to love one another. Commandment number one, love Yahweh and love your neighbor. That's the whole Torah right there, in case anybody thinks the Torah has been done away. Those who continue in rebellion, regardless of their status, will receive their reward. You want a reward? You're doing things in this life, rebelling against Yahweh? There's your reward. Why should he let you into the kingdom if you haven't shown him that you're willing to change? Are we comfy in our miserable state? We're all in a miserable state. Think about it. We have that sickness that is constant. We have to deal with it constantly. We have to go to Yahweh. Or are we proactive in our search for Yahweh's kingdom? Right? Seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh, and the rest will be added unto you. It's not the other way around. Yahweh will add to you many, many things, and then if you feel like it, you can seek his kingdom. Over in Romans 12 and also 1 Peter 2:5, Romans 12 verse 2 and 1 Peter 2:15, it reads, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of Elohim." Be not conformed to the paganism of this world. Yahweh helps us in the transformation. When you get immersed, you start thinking different. You start thinking, you know what? Those things I used to do, they're not as exciting anymore. They don't motivate me as much. Breaking Sabbath on Friday night. Taking all the spankings that Yahweh gave you so that you could learn about his Sabbath. I remember being punished for breaking Sabbath, and I knew that that was Yahweh speaking. Son, listen to Yahshua's words. Keep the Sabbath holy. And also 1 Peter 2:15. "For so is the will of Elohim, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Men will attack us, speak blasphemies. It says in 1 Peter 2:15 that with well-doing we put those men to silence because they're ignorant. They don't know. They don't know that we're seeking Yahweh. They don't know that we're striving to keep his commandments the best way we can. They don't know that we get upset when we fail. And they don't know sometimes the pain that they cause by their blasphemies. To them, it's nothing. They attack you. They speak whatever they want. They don't know. Sometimes that hurts. Because you're striving to serve Yahweh. They speak evil of Yahweh and Yahshua. They don't know that Yahshua died for them. They're ignorant. They don't care. So any pain that we might feel when we're trying to adhere to Yahweh's instructions, think about, I mean, the most horrifying of situations that causes you pain. You know what? It's a joke compared to the pain Yahweh felt when Yahshua died. Think about it. If that was your son, he was sinless, and they just murder him, execute him. Why? Well, they were doing Yahweh's will. They didn't know. In killing him, he was actually dying for them, for their sins. Some of them figured that out later. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh for that. How about the pain that he might feel when a sheep decides to voluntarily leave the fold? You raise up your child. You take care of him for 18, 20 years. You give him what he needs. And then he just leaves the faith. Now we're talking about people that just, they reject it totally. I don't know how that feels, but I'm just, you know, I can almost see how that feels. Do we ever enjoy trashing others in or outside the faith when we might be worse than amateurs in the faith? I mean, think about it. I look at myself. Sometimes you're still an amateur, buddy. You haven't grown up yet. You're still a teenager. Or how about how much nonsense do we allow on Yahweh set apart Shabbat? Look at Exodus 16. He told them, I'm giving you twice as much on the sixth day. Why are you going out and looking for bread when I already explained it to you? It should make us upset when things that distract us on Shabbat, when we allow it. Distractions. Yahweh wants our full attention on Shabbat. It's dedicated to Him. The service is dedicated to Him. Our lives are dedicated to Him. Our sacrifice. Our bosses can't understand it. Why doesn't this person want to help me on Saturday? My goodness. I'm paying him double. Well, you can't pay enough. You can't pay any one of Yahweh's people enough money to work on Sabbath. You can't. You can't offer him salvation. It's not enough, whatever you're offering. You can't bribe Yahweh or his servants. We can't allow this. Looking for the new moon, that keeps us on our toes. This is something, it comes around every 29, 30 days. This is something that Yahweh gave to us. He expects us to go out there to look. The same way you're looking for truth. You want to know when is Passover? Look for the new moon. You want to know when is Tabernacles? Go look for the new moon. How are you going to figure it out? Yahshua kept the people of his time on their toes because most folks, you know, they were used to the way the religious leaders interpreted the scriptures. In many ways, we were the same. We took the preacher's word for it. We didn't go and double check. And then what happened? Yahshua comes. And the people are like, what? What do you mean? You mean the rabbi so-and-so is wrong on how he told me what I can do on Shabbat and what I can't do? He gave the correct application, but he seasoned it with grace and mercy, which led you to repent. Think about this. Somebody does something nice for you. Are you going to turn around and curse at them? Of course not. This is one thing our parents teach us. Say thank you. Say please. Those two words go a long way. Especially in our day and age, you work hard. Your boss comes over, he tells you, you know what, thanks a lot. I appreciate all your hard work. But Yahshua says, you know what, you do your job. That's your duty. We shouldn't expect a pat on the back from Yahshua. Because you either do what he said or you don't do what he said. You can't like halfway, well, I halfway kept the Sabbath, Yahshua. That's not enough. I halfway repented. I halfway got baptized. No, that's not enough. And we fail. We make mistakes. That's part of life. We need to learn from our mistakes. We need to learn not to make mistakes. That's first things first. That's why we have an instruction manual. We have seen miracles and people change their lives to strive to serve Yahweh. And I guess it was only fitting how Yahweh was glorified this past Tabernacles. He has 12 new students. I hope that they stick with it. I hope that they continue, no matter what trials or tribulations that the evil one throws at them. I hope that they stick with us. And you know, how beautiful it is to see, as it says here in Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Like when somebody brings you good news, it says, how beautiful are the feet of that person. They bring you glad tidings. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. How beautiful is that verse? In the Hebrew, this is chapter 3 of Malachi. And it's such a beautiful verse that the Jews, you know what? They didn't put that last before the New Testament. Because it says, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The Jews don't want the Old Testament to end that way. So they put 1st and 2nd Chronicles at the end. But how beautiful is that? The children, they turn their hearts to the faith of faithful Abraham. Think about that. Abraham was justified before circumcision. He had faith in Yahweh. John the Immerser, Yahshua, the Messiah, Peter and Paul all preach the same restoration message. Repent, the kingdom of Yahweh is near. This message applies to both those that are in and outside the body of Messiah. We need to be at peace with Yahweh. When you're at peace with your brethren, when you're at peace with Yahweh, that helps you so much in so many ways. On the other hand, the fool says in his heart, there is no Elohim. But I think to myself, even in saying this, he's lying. Why? Because he's putting himself ahead of Yahweh. Think about it. If I say, oh, there is no Elohim, then how did you get here? Well, you don't have an answer for that. How did you get here? Who created you? Well, you don't have an explanation for it. Yahweh put us here to worship Him. That is our purpose. That's why in the back of your mind, you try to deny Yahweh, but you can't, because He's in there. He's in your conscience. He's telling you, I created you and everything else. I gave you everything to enjoy all my creation. He gave us food. He gave us clothing. And everything else that we don't deserve, He gave us. Everything else that we don't deserve, He gave it to us. He only asks that you obey. And when you fail to obey, He only asks you, well, make up for that. Repent. In the Old Testament, you stole from somebody, repay that man. That man worked hard. You don't know what he did to earn that. You don't know that he has a family and children to take care of. Repay him. In order to make the change for the better, we need to start somewhere. Now, where do I start? I don't know where to start. I have four here. I mean, you can pick. Preferably using Yahweh's name, being that He is the one we need to seek. Even Yahshua, when He was on earth, He was seeking Yahweh every day, all the time. You can start with that. Separate the Father from the Son. This is something that, you know, in many churches you might have come out of, you know, they teach false doctrine about Yahweh and Yahshua, that they're the same person. No, they're not. So you need to separate them. You get a clearer understanding of who Yahweh and Yahshua are when you separate them. That's why there's a scripture in the Old Testament. What is the Father's name and His Son's name? If you can tell, they're not the same person, obviously. They have different names. They have different roles. They fulfill their office. Notice that the weekly cycle continues to be the same as it was in Yahshua's time and all the way back to creation. The cycle has never changed. Just because the number or the days on the calendar, we have pagan names, and some try to fix the calendar, they added, they took away. Well, there's confusion. Why? Because you're not doing it the way Yahweh instructed us to do it. You're trying to do everything ahead of time. You're not waiting on Yahweh. That's why you're confused. Well, is it really the Sabbath day? Well, did Yahshua really keep the Sabbath day when he was supposed to? Think about it. He's not going to lie to us. He's not going to do anything contrary to Yahweh's Torah. Even now that he's at his right hand, he's still serving Yahweh. He's still, you know, he's an intermediate for us. He's still going in between, bringing our prayers to Yahweh. And then the last one, the law of Yahweh is perfect. It says in the scriptures, the law of Yahweh is so perfect. You know what it does? It converts your soul. That inner being that you have, that hard heart that you have, he smashes it. He breaks you down, makes you cry when you repent, because you know that you've been forgiven by Yahweh. Also in, well, I have there Romans 2, 1 through 4. But first, I got 2 Corinthians 7 through 10. This one will make our point. 2 Corinthians 7 through verse 7, or chapter 7 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. It reads, therefore, sorrow according to Yahweh worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. So how do I explain this? Sorrow according to Yahweh works repentance. Well, one minister, he asked, what is the difference between a butcher and a surgeon? The difference between a butcher and a surgeon. Well, a surgeon cuts to heal, and a butcher cuts to kill. So Yahweh cuts, he'll perform surgery on you with his word to heal you, not to kill you, to show you mercy. That's why we go to doctors to perform surgeries. We don't go to the doctor so he can kill us. Why would we do that? Well, I'm going to the doctor. He's going to give me a pill so I can commit suicide. No, you wouldn't. Come on. But then again, some might. Well, you know, they got to answer for that. Both of them have to answer for that. The one doing the deed and the other one participating. So the sorrow according to Yahweh works repentance. You're sad when you break Yahweh's Torah. That's why it says, you can grieve the Spirit or you can just totally extinguish it. When you sin, you grieve the Spirit. When you walk away from it, you just extinguish it like a fire. You can contain a fire or you can extinguish it. There's a difference. So we go to the master surgeon. We don't go to the butcher. The evil one is the butcher. Comes to kill, steal, destroy. Everything you ever worked for, he wants to destroy it. You've been striving to stay alive. He wants to kill you. So we have here in Romans 2, verses 1 through 4, this is a scripture to kind of humble us. It says, therefore you have no excuse. Romans 2, verses 1 through 4. We have no excuse, O man, everyone who condemns, for in passing condemnation on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of Elohim rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who condemn those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of Elohim? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that Elohim's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Elohim's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. That is the goal of him being kind to you, so that you would repent. When you read in chapter 1, you have these unbelievers, they're doing whatever. Well, these verses are referring to the reprobates in chapter 1. If we're going to condemn them reprobates, we need to have our house in order before condemning others of whatever we might be guilty of. I'm condemning you of gossip. Am I gossiping? Whatever I'm condemning someone else of, I better have my house in order, right? Over in Proverbs chapter 6 and verses 16 through 19, these also speak to us. If there's something that Yahweh hates, then we need to try our best not to do that. If we're worshiping him, why would you do things that offend the one you're supposed to be worshiping? Doesn't make sense. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. These 6 things does Yahweh hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and run into mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren, a false witness that speaketh lies. You say there is no Elohim. You're a false witness. You're speaking lies. Gossiping has killed many brothers and sisters. There's like that little Jewish story that says, like if you offend somebody, you know, then the guy tells you, okay, bring me a pillow with feathers, you know, empty it out. The feathers go everywhere, and then he tells you, now go and get all those feathers for me. That's what you did. All those lies that you spread, can you go back and take them back? You can't. Now, I remember the lyrics to a song. Here's a story. Put yourself in the picture. And it was a story about a man. He drove a Jaguar. So this is us. We're driving a Jaguar, right? And a kid threw a brick at his door. Hit his door. Caused damage. The man jumps out and asks the kid, why'd you hit my car? Then he tells the kid, you know what? It's going to cost a lot of money to fix that. The kid says, sorry. I was pushing my brother in his wheelchair and he fell. And I tried to get people's attention so that they would help me, but they just ignored me. So I threw a brick at your door to get your attention. This is Yahweh speaking to us. We're comfortable in our situation. People need help. They're throwing bricks at our car. They need our help because nobody else wants to help them. They're searching for truth, but they're only being taught lies. The moral to the story told in the song is, do you want Yahweh to have someone throw a brick at your nice car? Or do you prefer Him just tapping you on the shoulder to get your attention? I prefer the tapping on the shoulder myself. So if you're sleeping, or maybe you don't like the messenger, pick up the scriptures and read about Yahshua in the Old Testament and the New. Read about the salvation of Yahweh in the Old and in the New. When the children of Israel, they walked on the dry land, they made it to the other side. Or I think it was just a little bit before that. Moses told them, stand still and see the salvation of Yahweh. That's what he's telling us. Stand still, see the salvation of Yahweh. Let them work. Sometimes we don't have to do everything ourselves. Let's let them work in our lives. Let's let them do like the coach does. He puts you in the position to succeed. But you have to do the work. They're not going to do everything for you. Yahshua didn't come down and walk, you know, when on the dry land. No, the children of Israel, they had to do it. When they sinned against Yahweh, who had to repent? Did Yahshua have to repent? No, they had to repent. When we sin, we have to repent, not them. So how could you say they do everything for us? The scripture says if they're for us, who could be against us? But they're not going to do everything for us. Read about King David. Read about how King David truly repented, as opposed to King Saul or Judas Iscariot or Simon the sorcerer. They didn't truly repent. Changing for the better isn't easy, but with Yahweh, all things are possible. He can and will give us eternal life. We just have to be obedient. We just have to learn what He requires. One of my older sisters, she tried to let go of some bad habits earlier this year, but Yahweh says she needed to rest. He did that for her own good. Yahweh will stop us from destroying ourselves. If you want to destroy yourself, and Yahweh, He loves you, He's dealing with you, He's instructing you, rebuking you, He'll stop you from destroying yourself. He'll do that. He'll stop you from destroying His creation for your own good. Take the Torah reading, for example. The people kept murmuring, so he punished them. 1 year for every day that the promised land was spied. That was their punishment. He sent them to spy out the land. 10 of them brought back an evil report. He says, you know what? I'm going to punish you guys because you continue in defiance. In Numbers 14:34, it says, after a number of days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. Yahweh makes a promise, he will fulfill it. Don't stand there and say that he won't. You will have to pay for that. Let's back this up with Matthew 11. And verses 20 through 24. These are powerful scriptures that Yahshua gave us. And Yahshua was sad. He was disappointed. Yahshua came. He did a lot of work. He did a lot of suffering. Took a lot of ridicule. And he taught us a lot about how to apply the word of Yahweh. Matthew 11. We can read 20 on down to 24. It says, then he, Yahshua, began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works were done in you, the mighty works that were done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to the grave. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee have been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Why? In Matthew 11, verses 20 to 24, Yahshua is upset because the people in those cities witnessed his works and yet failed to repent. You saw Yahshua in action. You didn't read it from the prophets. He was there in your midst. He said if those works were done in certain places, they would have repented or been here to this day. When people go out there and search and they find, you know, that place there, they find all that sulfur there, they would have been here until this day if Yahshua would have did certain works and people would have repented. So that's a lesson for us. Look at what Yahshua is telling those people. He did mighty works there. He's done mighty works in our midst. Over in Matthew 13, you can turn there. I got verses 52, 54, and 58. I got a couple of more slides and then I'll close it. Matthew 13, verses 52, 54, and 58. And those read, then he, Yahshua, said unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things old and new. Yahshua teaches us about the new covenant right out of the Torah, right out of the prophets, right out of the writings. He was instructed unto the kingdom of heaven and he brought forth treasures unto us. And we do the same. In verse 54, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, where has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? So what is Yahshua doing? On Sabbath, going to the synagogue. What is he doing? He's teaching. Where did he get his teaching from? Yahweh. He had to learn that from Yahweh in order to teach us. It says he learned by obedience. That's why he's first. That's why he's first in line, because he obeyed Yahweh. He obeyed the spirit of the law and the letter of the law. He didn't argue. He didn't say, well, I don't have to obey that. That's in the Torah. Yahshua taught in many places, but the seventh day Sabbath was a day when he would go to the synagogue to teach. During the appointed times, he would teach them at Jerusalem in the temple. That's why we go to the feast, to learn. And then also, verse 58, and he did not many mighty works there because of their own belief. Think about that. This is a sad story to read, that Messiah didn't bother doing many mighty works in certain places because he knew that some people's hearts would remain like stone. So sad. In this day and age, we can see many being called but refusing to acknowledge Yahweh and Yahshua. We have many examples in the scriptures. Some folks changed their ways, others went backwards. But nonetheless, we have no excuse if we hear the word and we can understand, but insist on refusing to obey. And like Stephen, he told the Sanhedrin, he told them in Acts 7:51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Are we in those shoes? Are we bragging and boasting? Oh, I'm grafted in. You could be grafted in, but you could be taken out just as quick as soon as you decide you want to disobey and clown around. And those that belong there can always just come right in. That's their rightful place. Talking about those from the tribe of Israel, talking about those Jews in Israel, talking about those Jews that are scattered, the Levites, the Benjaminites. They can be grafted right back in. Yahweh's working with them too. He's not just working with us, he's working with them too. They got a leg up on us. They understand the Hebrew scriptures a little better than we do. But Abba has a limit. Because if you understand those scriptures better than these Gentiles over here, but yet refuse to acknowledge my son, then I don't have to give you any more truth past that point. So we're all even, right? I will close with Jeremiah 26:13. Jeremiah 26 and verse 13, it reads there, therefore, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim, and Yahweh will repent him of the evil that he has pronounced against you. This goes for all of us. Amend our ways. If Yahweh pronounces evil against those that are disobedient and they change their heart, what does it say in Ezekiel? If the wicked is doing wicked, but he changed his ways, then Yahweh will be with that person. But if you're a righteous person and you change your ways, then Yahweh will be against you. This goes for all of us. May Yahweh bless you. Shalom.